Good evening. Want to welcome everybody tonight. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Exodus, the 12th chapter. We're going to continue the continuing saga of Moses. And that's kind of what it's been. Saga of Moses, Aaron, and Pharaoh. I was talking with Jean recently, and she said some things about a study she had done, and it sparked me to kind of do the same thing. I started digging, and I knew that the Egyptians were a polytheistic society, a culture that worshipped multiple gods, and found out that they had so many more than I ever knew about. And I just wanted, last week, I think it was 2 weeks ago, that we looked at this, that Moses warned Pharaoh that of the death of the firstborn. And he hardened his heart yet again. But I went back and looked at the 10 plagues. And the first one, kind of as a review, the first one was turning the Nile to blood. The Egyptians had a god, Khnum, which was the guardian of the Nile. He could do nothing about that one. I'm sure they went to their great god, Khnum, and he couldn't do anything. Moses' god turned the Nile to blood. The second one was frogs. They had a goddess named Heget, and it was always portrayed with the head of a frog. Couldn't do anything. The third one was gnats. And I'm sure they prayed to, being in Egypt, they had Set, the god of the desert. And I'm sure they probably go to Set numerous times over things that oversaw the conditions that they lived in. The fourth plague was that of flies. And they had Uachit, and he was always represented by a fly. Couldn't do anything about it. The fifth plague was the death of the livestock. And they had a goddess named Hathor, and it was portrayed with a cow's head, and Apis was a bull god. So you had a goddess of a cow and the god of a bull. Nothing. The sixth plague was boils. And Sekhmet was the goddess that had power over disease. The seventh was hail. And they had a goddess, Nut, N-U-T. I'm just reading it. I didn't come up with it. Nut, which was the goddess of the sky, and that hail would have been coming out of the domain of Nut. And then Set, which we talked about earlier, not only god of the desert, he was the god of storms. And I'm sure they probably went to Set quite a few times. The eighth plague was that of locusts. And Osiris oversaw, as a god, crops. And those locusts would have devoured. And it was said it did devour the crops. The ninth plague was that of darkness. Their chief god was Amun-Re, the sun god. And darkness overtook the light in the ninth plague. And then also Hathor was a sky goddess. And then the last one, the last time we met, was the death of the firstborn was foretold. And they had a god named Min, M-I-N, and that was the god of reproduction that they would go to for their children and so forth, and to no avail. And the thing that really drove the point home with me, you know, those Egyptians were doing everything they could, going to their gods and goddesses to try to counter these many plagues. And then Pharaoh himself was considered a god. And when you think about Pharaoh, everything he said in Egypt was done. He was the leader. So in a lot of ways, I'm sure he probably thought of himself as a god. You know, when everything you say people do, you know, you're kind of seen as a god. And that leads us to Exodus, the 12th chapter. And I'm so glad Dick used Matthew 26 in the Lord's Supper. A lot of times we utilize Matthew 26 or 1 Corinthians 11 when we're referring in the Lord's Supper, because it's retelling the instituting of the Lord's Supper, of the sacrifice and so forth. And we're all familiar with the Lord's Supper, the sacrifice, the body, the blood, and keep that in the back of your mind as we go over this. In this chapter, the Passover is instituted for the Israelites. Starting in verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it, according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations." Just want to pause there for a moment. It is this practice that, if we remember what Dick was reading there in Matthew 26, "Lord, where do you want us to keep the Passover?" They were still doing it. And it was during these feasts that Jesus would institute what we do every week, the Lord's Supper, or what we refer to as the Lord's Supper. Jesus took the bread, broke it. It's unleavened. It's not like the bread we make a sandwich with. It's like the bread we have, the Lord's Supper. It's unleavened. It doesn't have yeast and leaven in it, because they didn't have the time to let it rise. Eat it in haste, because you're getting ready to leave. You have to do it the way God commanded. And then the blood, verse 13, "Now the blood shall be a sign for you." Jesus took the cup and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant." It's a new covenant for us. And it was during this time that Jesus was keeping this. And that's how he instituted what we refer to as the Lord's Supper. And he says, "Whenever you do this in remembrance of me. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. On the same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses. Since whoever eats what is unleavened, that same person shall be cut off. Where am I at? I lost my place. Verse 19, "For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your dwellings you shall eat unleavened bread." Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. and you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. That's where the term Passover came from. The Lord was going to pass over the people that were obedient to him and would pass over, and the people that didn't have the blood would be struck down. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, "What do you mean by this service?" that you shall say, "It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households." So the people bowed their heads and worshiped. I just think of all the things that we need to be prepared when not only our children, but others ask us, why do you do, you know, mommy, why do we do this? Daddy, why do we do this in our worship today? When a visitor, a neighbor, why do you guys do X practice that then maybe they've never been associated with the church? Maybe they never had the opportunity or the training or the teaching. And when they ask, just like the Israelites, when they're asked, we can have an answer based on God's word. Not, well, son, in my opinion, that's not it. You know, it's not, well, because I think we should X thing. It's based on what God said. And God has been very clear so far. Very clear. I mean, how many times did he say, don't eat the unleavened bread, or don't eat any bread with leaven in it? Eat unleavened bread. I don't know how anybody would have been confused. I'm sure there, just as people, I'm sure there was, you know, excuse me, Moses. Why can't we? You know, what does it matter? Because God said so. That's why. Verse 28. Then the children of Israel went away and did so. Simple as that. They went away. Moses said, they went away and they did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive, who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he, all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise, go from my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also." When you're going to go worship your God, throw in a good word for me. I mean, how hard has his heart gotten? And he's finally saying, after all of those plagues, go. You wanted to go worship your God, you go worship your God. And while you're doing it, throw in a blessing for me, please. And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. Right now. Don't get packed ready right now. For they said, "We shall all be dead." So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides children. A mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. And the Lord said to Moses, "This is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat it, but every man's servant who is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he may eat it." I find it interesting. That's how God was going to identify and separate his people from everybody else. Not that God wouldn't have known, but he was separating groups of people. How many people today, how many people then would have, "Hey, I want to be part of you guys and all the glory and all the protection of your God and all this. I want to be part of you. I'm not a slave anymore." Okay. "Well, we're going to circumcise you." I don't know about that one. How many people want to be God's children but don't want to do what he says? Here it says, "But every man's servant who is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he may eat. A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat. In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the house, nor shall you break one of its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. And then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as a native of the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat it. One law shall be for the native born, and for the stranger who dwells among you." Thus all the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. And it came to pass on that very same day that the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt according to their armies. What a glorious account. For 430 years they'd been in bondage. The beginning day back in Exodus 3, when we started looking at this, the Lord told Moses, "I've heard their cry. I know their sorrows. I know what they've been going through." I wonder how many times in 430 years they prayed. It would be generations of people wondering, why does God not hear us? He hears. And he's taking them out of bondage and showing them, reminding them, great power. And we will see the next time I speak to you, we're going to look at how the Israelites crossed the Red Sea and how Moses or Pharaoh would have a change of heart and decide to hook up the chariots, let's go after them. And we know how that goes. But it's interesting. We know how these stories are. I know me. I've seen it in totally different lights as we've read it. Reading it aloud, it just kind of, it comes to light. And a lot of things are emphasized that I before have read this numerous times that maybe just overlooked before. But anyway, this we will continue with this. We always like to offer the opportunity to answer the invitation. The invitation is always open. God is always there calling you. If you need to repent of sin, if you need prayers of the congregation, if you would like to become a working, active member with us here at South Valley, we would love to have you. Whatever your need, if you would come forward, let your needs be known. While Curtis leads us in the invitation song, we'll address those needs. And let's all stand and sing together.